Good morning, friends. Welcome to Calvary Bible Church's Sunday morning worship service on Sunday, May the 10th. This is Mother's Day, so we want to wish all of our moms a very special Mother's Day. Of course, moms, you do a lot of work all the time, don't you? And we want to tell you we appreciate all of your kindness and service to us. One way that moms do a lot of work is by cooking very tasty meals. I was going to ask all the kids that are watching this morning, what is your mom's, what is the favorite meal that your mom makes for you? What's the favorite food that your mom cooks? One of the favorite meals that my mom made for me when I was younger was this, it was French, where you would take ground beef, form it into a meatball, but inside the meatball was a green olive. And then you would serve that over rice, and then there was some white cream sauce that kind of brought all the flavors together. That was so tasty. My mom taught Mary Beth how to make that, and so she's made that for us many times, and it's been very delicious. One thing I've noticed about this coronavirus time is that, I don't know if you noticed this, that your clothes start to shrink. I put on my suit jacket this morning and I said, wow, I can't believe my clothes have just shrunk like this. So that's one of these things that happen. But anyway, we do want to wish each of the moms happy Mother's Day. I hope you have a special day. We also want to extend sympathy to the Natalie Norps family and extend our love and prayer for them. Natalie's grandmother passed away, went home to be with the Lord last week because of the coronavirus. Also continue to pray for Pastor Eric's dad down in South Carolina. He also is in a nursing home facility and he has coronavirus as well. So let's uphold these in prayer and pray for Natalie and Mike and the family and comfort at this time. Now, you know that we're having a congregational vote this weekend electronically for voting in some new elders and deacons. That came in an informational email a couple of days ago or a week or so ago. And the voting began yesterday, and it continues today until midnight. So I'm going to encourage all of the members to be sure to prayerfully vote on the different candidates. This is a vote of affirmation. So just pray about if these people are qualified, not whether you click with their personality or not, or whether they're a snazzy dresser or not, but see if they're biblically qualified. Now, I know that two of our elder nominees are on the younger side, but I just want to let you know that they have had a year of training where they've worked alongside of us, and they understand the routine. They've done a great job with their shepherd groups, and they also understand that they're young, and they still have a lot of growth and experience to get. And so we feel like these men are definitely qualified. They have a teachable spirit when they face situations that are new to them. We work together as a team. And so even though they're on the younger side, we're very comfortable with recommending them to you wholeheartedly to serve as elders. Now, the link to vote online was emailed out to you yesterday on Saturday, May the 9th. Be sure to vote by today, as I said. It's very straightforward. It's very easy. If you have more than one member in your household, you very well may receive more than one link that each person could vote on. If you don't have an email address, and if you haven't heard from Hannah about getting a paper ballot, just go ahead and call Hannah to arrange you getting one. But if you have any questions, just email the church office, call the church office, and we want to make sure that each of you have an opportunity to vote on this important affirmation of elders and deacons. Also, we want you to stay alert and tuned for some budget matters. We need to move forward voting on our new budget for the church and school. And this is very important. We're already working on this and have been for some weeks. So stay tuned about that. There's also, with the election of the new elders, we are going to have a shepherd group reordering. They've really have become too large, and they're supposed to be smaller, ideally. And so there's going to be a reordering that takes place here before too long. And also, of course, I know each of you are very interested about when's the reopening of the church gathered, going to take place. Speaking to empty church buildings is not going to go on indefinitely, praise the Lord. And so we're already talking about when are we going to gather as a church and in what capacity and how is that going to happen safely, particularly caring for those who would be most susceptible to illness. So we're thinking probably towards the end of May or the beginning of June is when we're probably most likely going to be able to get together on some level to gather as a church. In the meantime, of course, shepherd groups are still meeting regularly. We have the discipleship care for one another. Those groups are still meeting on a pretty regular basis. Of course, we have Wednesday evening live with Pastor Eric, and then the Thursday evening devotional is released at 6 o'clock on Thursday. Pastor Mike and myself share some thoughts from the Word of God. So lots of opportunities to grow, lots of opportunities to encourage one another, to reach out to one another during this very unusual time. Also, we want to tell you thank you so much for your faithful giving to meet the needs of the ministry here at Calvary. You've been very generous, so thank you about that. If you have any questions, just contact the church office. Also, if any of you have financial needs or you have some other need that you're struggling with, please do not hesitate to reach out to any of the elders, to reach out to the deacons, to the church office. We very much care about what you're going through. If you need to just talk to someone, or you need to be mentored by someone, or you need to get some kind of counsel, we are not too busy to serve you. So just reach out by email or phone or text and contact one of the pastors or your shepherd group leader, and we're happy to spend time with you any way that we possibly can. If you have any questions at all, of course, contact your elder, contact your shepherd group leader, and we want to help any way we can. This morning's study on Mother's Day is from Luke chapter 10. So let's all turn to Luke chapter 10 this morning. I'm very thankful for an opportunity to preach this morning, and I hope that this will be a spiritual help and challenge to you as it has been to me. As you're turning, let's go ahead and look to the Lord in prayer and open our hearts up to Christ. Our Lord Jesus, we thank you that we can gather today, even though it may be online, Lord. We know that we're always in your presence. We thank you for your abiding spirit who's pointing us to Christ, who's exhorting us to turn from our self-trust, our self-righteousness, our sin, our pride, our self-reliance, and to turn to Christ and your word. Lord, help us to desire to live for you, to live for your glory, to live for something greater than our own plan. I pray for myself as I give out the word of God here from Luke chapter 10. And I pray for each person listening online, Lord, that you would strengthen them and bless them. Lord, bless them by giving them faith in the living word of God, Jesus Christ. And Lord, I pray that this challenging passage would speak to our hearts and leave us changed people, more like Jesus Christ. In his name we pray, amen. Luke chapter 10 is our study this morning, and we'll be looking at verses 38 through 42. Let's read together Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 42. Now as they, that is Jesus and the disciples, went on their way, Jesus entered into a village. And a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister named Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving. And she, that is Martha, went up to Jesus and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me. But the Lord answered her, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her. I want us to spend a few moments this morning reflecting on the concept and the word priorities. Think about the word priorities. What does it mean? Well, I have a few definitions for us to think about. First, priorities can mean that which has the greatest importance, that which has the greatest urgency. For instance, say your heat goes out on a very cold night, and the same night that your heat goes out, your toaster breaks. So you would say, I'm going to give the furnace priority treatment because it's more urgent. Another definition of priority would be something that is most highly ranked. Something that is most highly ranked. So if I said, I rank the Popeye's chicken sandwich ahead of the Chick-fil-A sandwich. Now, besides being a heretic and being accused of false doctrine, I would not be saying that the Chick-fil-A chicken sandwich is bad. All I would be saying is I feel the Popeye's chicken sandwich is higher on my list in rankings. Now, if I started a controversy in your home, I apologize. Another definition of priorities is that which takes the precedence. That which takes the precedence. So this is why we say to somebody or people tell us, you've got to get your priorities right. What they're saying is, you're putting things in an order that doesn't seem to reflect what should be the precedent. The word priority in English comes from a Latin word that simply means superior. So priorities, as we talk about priorities, we're talking about what we deem as superior. And of course, this is an important concept to us when we deal with our relationship with Jesus Christ. And here in this account of Martha and Mary and our Lord Jesus, we really have our Lord focusing our attention on this question. And it's a very convicting question. It's been a great source of conviction to me even this week. And here's the question. Is my relationship with Jesus the priority in my life? And this is a question that each of us needs to wrestle through in our hearts and allow the Spirit of God to do His great work of changing us and freeing us from ourselves. Is my relationship with Jesus Christ the priority in my life? Now, our first truth that we see as Jesus teaches us about proper priorities is this, and this is point number one. It is very easy. It is so very easy to fall into confused spiritual priorities. Do you find this to be the case? It is so easy, it seems, to fall off the path and get confused and mixed up with what or who should be first place in my life. Now here, our Lord warns us about allowing right activities, legitimate activities, to take place over treasuring Jesus as the number one priority of our heart. Now, the background here to our account with Mary and Martha is this. You know these individuals, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. These are special friends of Jesus during his earthly ministry. Matter of fact, John 11 and verse 5 says that Jesus loved Martha and Mary and Lazarus because Jesus had nowhere to lay his head. That is, Jesus never owned a home of him for himself. Because he didn't own his own home, he enjoyed staying with this family, and this was a very hospitable family. They were very kind and generous to our Lord Jesus. This is where we pick up in verse 38. Now, as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha, notice this, welcomed Jesus into her house. Now, the village they lived in was called Bethany. Bethany was just on the other side of the Mount of Olives from Jerusalem. It was walking distance from Jerusalem. It was probably about the distance from here at the church building to my home in Forest Park West, maybe a little shorter than that, but the difference was that the travel from Jerusalem to Bethany would have had hills and would have had valleys. So Jesus would stay with this family whenever he was in Jerusalem to minister or when he went to the various feasts in the Jewish calendar. And our text tells us that because our Lord Jesus loved this family, he was seeking to help them. He was seeking to refine their faith. And here we see what needed purifying in their lives were their priorities. Now, Luke shares the great contrast for us in verse 39. And she, that is Martha, had a sister called Mary. And look what Mary was doing. She sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But in contrast, at the beginning of verse 40, Martha was distracted. And she was distracted with much serving. Let's first look at Mary. Mary here sat at the Lord's feet and she listened to his teaching. Now that's really amazing on many levels. First, it was very unusual for a rabbi to allow women at this time to sit at their feet as they taught their different truth. Matter of fact, the rabbinic tradition said that may the words of the Torah be burned. They should not be handed over to a woman, end quote. However, Jesus thought very differently than the rabbis of his day, and he was glad to have women listen as he gave the words of instruction, the words of grace. But notice particularly at Mary's posture. She was sitting at his feet. She was hearing every word that he said. She had a great desire to learn. And here is the important truth to understand what this story is all about. Mary was listening intently to the word of God through the lips of her Savior, Jesus Christ. She was listening intently to the Lord as he taught his life-giving truth. She was a serious learner. You know, Mary is often portrayed as just very emotional, maybe on an emotional high. She's caught up in kind of just mindless meditation, just in awe of Jesus. And certainly, as we behold the Lord in His Word, as we worship the Lord, we are caught up in a sense of wonder of how great He is. But the point here is this. She was totally absorbed in what He was teaching, in the Word of God. This is so beautiful to see in the life of Mary. Now, while Mary was soaking up the Word of God, you notice that her big sister was getting very frustrated. Look at the beginning of verse 40. But Martha was distracted with much serving. Now, the word distracted is the idea of to be pulled away or to drag something away. So the implication here is that Martha, too, she wanted to hear Jesus herself. She wanted to be at Jesus' feet listening like Mary was, but she felt like she was very much pulled away by her various duties. You could just imagine Martha fluttering around with all her preparations. She would catch bits and pieces of Jesus' words, but she had this burden. I have to get this meal prepared. I have to get this done. And so that thought of having to get that meal done for Jesus just kept dragging her back to the kitchen. It seems to me she wanted to be at Jesus' feet, but she told herself she had to be practical. She had to put her duties before her spiritual desires. Well, I think Martha certainly was thinking, Jesus just journeyed from Jerusalem. He was tired. He was weary. He needed something to eat. She was focusing on the comfort of Christ, getting the guest room ready, going to the market, buying the best produce she could, fixing the meal, preparing the table. Everything had to be done right. She wanted the dish to be warm for Jesus just at the right time. Only the best would do. After all, she probably reasoned, Jesus deserves the best, doesn't he? But you see, our passage is not saying that serving Jesus is bad, or that serving Jesus a meal is inappropriate, or serving others is wrong. It's not saying that we should just sit around all the time and just contemplate Jesus and kind of be lost in theology without doing anything. That's not the point of what's going on here. Matter of fact, if you look back just before this account of Martha and Mary and Jesus, it's the account of the Good Samaritan. Here is this story where you have a bunch of religious experts who sat around arguing about fine points of rabbinic tradition, and they go by this injured person, and they should have practically put everything else aside and helped this person. This was clearly God's will. And what do? Rather than serving this injured man, they just go about their religious duties, and they go to Jerusalem. However, even though the situation here is that God is not putting down service, and certainly Martha was a godly woman, but Jesus says in this particular case, she chose poorly. And here's the point. It's not to put down people who are people of action and they want to serve rather than to study and to contemplate, but it's here to show the necessity of the priority of the Word of God for a life of active service for the Master, Jesus Christ. If we're going to serve Christ rightly, and if we're to live rightly, and if we're to follow Him rightly and care for others rightly, our priorities must first be to hear the Word of God, for the Spirit of God to change us from the inside, to set our whole priority and perspective right. And here in this case, we see that Martha, she simply overvalued lesser things while undervaluing the eternal matters of her soul, which she so desperately needed, a growing relationship with Jesus where she heard him, where he was transforming her. Now, some may feel like, Jesus, you're being kind of harsh with Martha, aren't you? I mean, after all, where they lived and when they lived, they didn't have takeout food. You had to really prepare. You had to spend time and organize things. Now, I know that in Martha's mind, what she was doing was a work of love for Jesus. But if you notice here, rather than commending Martha, Christ, as we'll see in a second, will actually rebuke Martha for her wrong priorities. Things were out of order. Good things had come before Jesus and his truth. I think maybe Richard Sibbes says it best in his sermon, Mary's Choice, where he says this: Martha thought Christ came to be feasted when he came to feast them. See, the Lord here was presenting himself as the Savior. He was their deliverer. He was the only Savior. He was the source of all good grace. He was the life-giving word. He himself was the food that they needed. He's the bread of life which we need. He's the source of our eternal salvation. He's the source of every good thing. We desperately need Jesus, and yet we so easily, like Martha, can become distracted, and lots of good things can come before our relationship with Jesus and hearing Jesus and spending time developing a relationship of love and faith with him. I fear for myself. I can get so involved in so many things, so many good things, so many expected things, that my first priority relationship with Jesus begins to lag. And you and I know when that happens, we just start to feel down. Everything starts to irritate us. We lose our focus on Jesus and his glory. We forget that God's in control, and we just kind of flake apart. Now let's get back to Martha here. Now Martha's failure didn't just lie in undervaluing Jesus and overemphasizing less important things. Half of her sin, as you look in verse 40, was in blaming Mary for having the right priorities, and even that she got upset with Jesus for not correcting Mary. Look at the end of verse 40. And Martha went up to Jesus and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? You tell her to help me. Wow. Martha was angry at Mary, wasn't she? Martha considered Mary selfish, and she was mad at Jesus for allowing this to go on. I could just imagine the "if looks could kill" glances and stares she was giving to people in that room, particularly aiming her glare and stare at her sister Mary. Maybe she let out some irritated sighs. Maybe she was clanging some pots and pans, trying to distract them a little bit. I don't know. But it seems like she was a verbal person, Martha was. She was a blunt person. People knew where they stood with her. And she felt like it was time to give everyone a little scolding to get all the troops in order. So she comes out and says, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me. So we put it in modern language. Lord, my sister is a flake, and you're part of the problem too. Tell little Miss Prissy Pants to get into the kitchen and help me and tell her now. Well, she had become quite self-righteous. And in her self-righteousness, she had become very frustrated. And she now not only rebukes her sister, but she rebukes the one for whom she was so lovingly preparing the meal, our Savior, God's own Son, the Master, Jesus Christ. But you see, Martha didn't realize that at a critical time in Jesus' life and ministry, he preferred her company more than her service. He regarded her fellowship with him as more important than even serving him a meal. Her sense of priorities here was skewed. Given where Jesus was on the road to Jerusalem, and of course his final crucifixion for our sins. Matter of fact, the next chapter will deal with the religious leaders turning on Jesus and accusing him of having a demon in him. That brings up to what's called the unpardonable sin and so forth. And given the context of this, Jesus was saying there are things more important than a good meal. See, but what's ironic is that Martha was so confident that she was doing what Christ most needed and most wanted. And we can get like that sometimes too, can't we? It's so natural to think that Jesus needs our work. He needs us to do this. He can't do it without us. What would become of God's service and work without us? And we can become very self-deceived. Now, we certainly need to take our responsibility to serve Christ seriously. But to think that Christ needs us to get his plan done, that thought is silly. It is only by his kind grace that we serve him, that we can serve him, and he can do it quite well without us. Now, this doesn't mean that we don't take our responsibility and our service seriously. We do, but we don't take ourselves so seriously. We destroy our service when we start to overestimate our importance. We serve at his pleasure. We serve by his grace, and we serve through the strength of his power. And here we see Martha attempting to force Mary to serve Christ just the way she thought Mary should serve Christ. She wanted Mary away from Jesus' feet, away from hearing Christ, and in the kitchen with her, because in her mind, what she was doing was more important than what Mary was doing. This is the kind of tunnel vision that you and I can face when we get away from personally walking closely in a warm-hearted relationship with Christ and his word. We begin to have turf wars. Our responsibility, our life, our job, our ideas, they're most important. Our service, it's most important, it's more important than anybody else's. And we assume that everybody should be committed exactly to what we're committed to because we feel so strongly about it. And after all, if they're going to be good Christians, they need to live just like us. See, Martha's attitude, if it's unchecked by the Lord, it can actually destroy the inner soul of love and grace that leads to healthy service of the body of Christ. By the way, how do I know, and how do you know, if you're putting too much emphasis on legitimate and right activities and neglecting your relationship with Christ? Let me suggest three questions for us to consider. Anything can become sinful when we allow that thing to keep us from delighting our hearts in Christ and his word first. Anything in our lives can become sinful if we allow it to steal our delight in Christ away. This could be a hobby. This could be technology. This could be entertainment. I don't know. I'm not the Spirit of God, but I know that the Lord wants to deal with each of our hearts on this level. Are we putting something before Christ? Are we putting something first? The second question or statement is this. Anything becomes sinful when we begin to desire it in our hearts before our relationship with Jesus. Anything can become sinful if we allow it to grab our desires and we want it more than we do our relationship with Jesus. And finally, anything becomes sinful when we allow the urgent matters around us to rob us of our priority time with Jesus in His Word. And I know this is all too easy, where we have urgent matters all the time, squeezing out our walk with Jesus. And even though we have more quiet time or more alone time during this lockdown period, we still find a struggle to spend time with Jesus. Urgent matters still press in. So this is where we have to say, wait a second, I'm going to reset. Jesus, my relationship with you is first. You are number one. And this is where I have to ask you again, the question of the day. Is my relationship with Jesus the first priority in my life? And this is a question that not only was the Lord directing to Martha and Mary, He is directing to each one of us today. Well, let's continue on in verses 41 and 42 and see, secondly, our Lord's loving rebuke. Our Lord's loving rebuke. We saw first how easy it is to get our priorities mixed up. And now we see our second and final point, our Lord's loving rebuke. See, the goal of the Lord Jesus, the redemptive goal of Christ, is to convince us on the basic level that He is our greatest need. And not only that, that He is our greatest good, and that we can turn to Him by faith wholeheartedly and trust in Him. And He makes His person our greatest joy, and His glory becomes our priority. And He grows us this way. So here He graciously and lovingly challenges Martha to help her to put Him first. Look at verse 41. But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her." Here we see in living color what it means that those whom the Lord loves, He disciplines. He disciplines us so that we would share in His holiness. He disciplines us so that we would experience the peaceable fruits of righteousness. Here we see Martha miserable, like we are oftentimes. She was stressed out that things be done right. She was a very controlling person. One of the common symptoms of our priorities not being focused on Christ is our tendency to be troubled and to be stressed and to be anxious about just everyday matters rather than spending time with Christ, being humbled by His greatness and grace. We think that we somehow can control things. This apparently is where Martha was. So here we need, as Martha needed, we need the great physician to give us the best medicine. And the best medicine is always a relationship that's warm, a relationship built on faith and trust and growing with Jesus Christ. We need Jesus. You and I need his life-giving truth. We need to gaze upon him. We need to be still and know that he is God. We need to know that he is sovereign, that with Christ, it truly will be all right. It will be okay. We need to spend time as a priority worshiping Christ. Or as our Lord Jesus says it best in verse 42, but one thing is necessary. But one thing is necessary. Now that's a powerful statement. That one thing is necessary. That one thing is best. And it's very clear what this is. It's listening with submissive faith to the life-giving, gracious words of Christ. See, the highest priority for those who would be servants of the Lord would be to listen with submissive faith and eager joy to the word of God. And Jesus here informs Martha that the word, what the word has done in her hearts, her heart from the lips of Jesus will not be taken away from her. See, Jesus here is giving us great wisdom as we serve him. It's so common, even doing good things, even serving in the church, serving Christ, serving your family, serving at work, to be dragged away from Christ and his word by attending lots of good things, but things that are not the absolute priority. There's a particular tendency for us who maybe are wound tight like Martha and want to do everything right to give so much attention to what we're involved in, our particular calling or our jobs or our hobby or our interest, that those things begin to dominate our lives and we have little time left to allow Christ to speak to us through and in the Word of God. And you see, without the benefit of the Word of God regularly changing us by spending time with Christ, we adopt a very narrow mindset. We inadvertently begin to lose the focus on the one thing, the best thing, that is relationship of faith with Christ. And therefore, we begin to lose the engine or the power for joyful service of Christ and living in this world with trust in the Lord. Those things begin to crumble when we move away from keeping our priorities first, focused on relationship with Christ. By the way, I want to ask you, is your relationship with Jesus Christ the number one priority in your life? Maybe this is something that the Lord is doing in your life today. Maybe the Lord allowed this odd time of shutdown and lockdown to get attention of his church and ask him this question: is Jesus first place in your life, your heart, and affections? Is that reflected in your relationship with him? This is very challenging. This deals with us on our most core level, but it's so kind and gracious of the Lord Jesus to ask us questions like this. Is Jesus first place? Do we give him and relationship with him priority in our lives? Now, I want us to consider also Mary's choice. And this is in verse 42. Now, you know that life doesn't automatically arrange itself in proper priorities. We have 1,000 duties all calling us. They all say they're urgent. And here we have Jesus saying, sit at my feet. One thing is necessary. One thing is urgent. There's a better thing. Focus your life first on me. Focus your attention first on me. I don't think it's an accident that right after this in chapter 11, Jesus gives the model prayer, or he's teaching his disciples to pray. But I want us to consider Mary's choice in verse 42. But one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her. I think this is where the Lord Jesus wants us to head. He wants us to honestly declare and be able to honestly declare, I agree with you, Jesus. One thing is priority. One thing is absolutely necessary. One thing that's necessary is our feasting on Christ in his truth by faith. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord. See, Christ seeks for us to come to the point where we sincerely consider the joyful priority of his word and the worship of Christ as really the best part of our lives. We may need to repent this morning if we're bored of Christ, if we're bored of his word, and we need to choose what he calls here the good portion. The good portion, that's Christ. Out of all the things to feast on in this world and to be filled up upon, the scripture calls us, the Lord calls us to feast first and be satisfied with Christ. After all, he's the bread of life. If we come to him, we'll never hunger. If we drink of him, we'll never thirst of him. He's our Savior, but he's a perfect Savior, a sinless Savior, a satisfying, life-giving Savior. So we have to ask, why was Mary's choice truly a good choice? Why is seeking Christ by faith as our priority, why is that truly good? Well, we could say her choice was good because when she chose to hear Christ speak, she chose what would truly strengthen her in her heart to serve. She chose that grace which would empower her to live for Christ, which is certainly best. We also see that Mary's choice was good because she chose something that alone would change her, would transform her. I don't know about you, but I know I have lots of areas that I need to grow in and change in and submit to the Lord in. What is going to change me other than the word of his grace to change my heart, to change my appetites, desires, my core character, and therefore my choices, but spending time with the Lord? Also, we see that Mary's choice was good because her choice was based on eternal values, which always gives priority to one's relationship with Jesus. Now, relationship with Jesus and having that healthy and warm is where everything else for a Christian flows out of. All of those other things will one day all pass away. But the Christian's relationship with Jesus is something that is eternal. I'm going to paraphrase J.C. Ryle because he has a beautiful statement here about the Christian's lasting relationship with Christ. He says, "A close, warm relationship with Christ is good when you're sick. It's good when you're well. It's good when you're young. It's good when you're old. A close walk with Jesus is good if you're single, and it's good if you're married. It's good in times of peace, and a relationship with Christ is certainly good in times of trouble." See, when Mary chose Christ's word over lesser things, she chose something that would even make the difficult things in life become good, because her perspective would be focused on the riches and treasures she has in her relationship with Christ, those things which never pass away, rather than the temporary changing matters of life. Well, let's bring our study this morning to a close. And I think we can say that if we want to stay in a healthy, balanced life as Christians, our developing relationship with Jesus must absolutely be given the priority in our life. If we're going to effectively serve Jesus in this world without being stressed, without being anxious, without being burned out, then that all begins on our knees with an open Bible, beholding the face of Christ by faith. When we have an open Bible in a quiet place, that is when the Spirit of God heals us. This is when he instructs us. This is when he fits us to serve him rightly from a standpoint of freedom and joy in Christ. So I ask you this morning, is your relationship with Jesus the priority in your life? If you say it's not, I can tell you warmly that the Lord has given you an opportunity during this time to make some changes, to realize that he must be priority. Not only that, I get to allow Christ to have the priority in my life. It's a place of goodness. It's a place of joy. It's not a place of sorrow. It's a place of great anticipation, great strengthening, a great source of grace as we meet with Christ, as we spend time with him first. Is Christ priority in your personal schedule? Our personal time in the Word of God, it can easily get squeezed out. But to spend time in the Word of his grace should be the top priority every day. Now, I don't think those words are too strong. To spend time with Jesus in the words of his grace should be our top priority every time. And let me ask you, has that time been squeezed out by other good things but lesser things? How about as a family? Do you make it a priority, Dad and Mom, as a family, to study the Word of God? And as we are soon together again as a church, will you make that a priority to regularly be in the house of the Lord? Where is God's Spirit speaking to you this morning? Our first priority each day is the walk with Jesus Christ. Whatever it takes to keep him first, that is what the Lord is calling us to this morning. Will you pray with me? Dear Lord, we thank you so much for this helpful and challenging account in Scripture, where you so lovingly and gently deal with two sisters that we can see ourselves in so easily, and their struggles, and particularly this matter of making you our spiritual priority. Lord, we want to confess our sin, our foolishness, our neglect of our relationship with you as the first priority in our lives. We ask your forgiveness. Thank you for cleansing through your blood. Thank you that the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all unrighteousness. And I thank you that you set us aright so that we can seek you, and we want to seek you in joyful pursuit of you, your word, and your grace. And I pray for all my brothers and sisters who are listening today. Lord, I ask that you would bless them as you have done a real work of conviction in their hearts, even today. And I pray, Lord, that they would follow up by making appropriate changes to joyfully, by faith, seek Christ as their lifelong pursuit. Oh, Lord, we pray for your help. We pray for your strength. In Jesus' name, amen. Go now with the thoughts of Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16. Let the words of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns, spiritual songs, with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Lord's blessing to you.